Please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Let that light shine through us. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Come, let us worship our Lord and Master. Now please join in hymn number 585, This Little Light of Mine, either on the screen or in the hymnals in front of you. Children's moment, and during the children's moment, please give signs of peace to your neighbors.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. I've got something here. Can you guys tell me what I have? It is a candle. And what do candles do?
They light fire.
They light, they have fire. What else?
They tell people about the Holy Spirit like those.
Oh, yeah. You know those candles represent the Holy Spirit. Good job. What else do candles do?
They hold them on Christmas and do not put your hand over it.
Yeah, they burn if you get too close. We hold them on Christmas. Sometimes they smell good. It's the right type of candle, right?
And also, it's...
Is this candle doing any of that right now?
No.
No. What do I need to do to make it do light up?
You need a lighter.
Is there like an on switch?
No. You have to have a lighter and you have to flick it.
To light it? Like with this?
No.
Does that work?
Maybe.
No. You can use a big magnifying glass.
What am I going to do?
You can use a magnifying glass.
Want me to use a lighter?
Yeah.
All right, Lincoln, here, hold that carefully for me.
Do not try this at home. You are a kid.
Try children see. Keep holding it carefully for me. So our story today has something to do with light. And it's not about a candle that lights up. We hear in the reading that Jesus goes up on top of a mountain with his disciples, and he's there to pray. And while he's praying, Jesus starts to shine, kind of like our candle. Jesus' face shines like the sun. His clothes become dazzling white. And we have a special name for this story that we're learning about today. It is the Transfiguration story. Can you say Transfiguration?
Transfiguration.
Yeah. They may know from Harry Potter, what does Transfiguration mean? What do they do in Transfiguration class?
I only know the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah. What do they do in Professor McGonagall's class? Transfiguration. They take something and they turn it into something else.
It's like shape-shifting.
Yeah, kind of like shape-shifting. Transfiguration is just a big old fancy word that means to be changed. And Jesus is changed in that story. It shows that God's love shines through Jesus. Because just like this candle by itself, it can't shine. There's no flame or fire when it was all by itself. But with help from the lighter, the candle shines. And that's what happens with Jesus too. Jesus, God's love comes down on Jesus, and he receives God's light and God's love, and Jesus shines brightly with that light and love. And not only does Jesus shine with God's light and love, but he shares that light and love with people around him. So I can take this candle that Lincoln's holding, keep it still, and we can share that flame with another candle. And that's what we can do with God's light and love in our lives. We can take that love and go out and share it and spread it so that everyone has God's light and love and shines in the love of God. And we can learn from Jesus how to do this, because Jesus goes out and shares God's love, and we can go out and share God's love. So let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
Who shines your light and love.
Who shines your light and love.
And who shares your light and love with us.
Who shares your light and love with us.
So that we can shine your light and love too.
So we can share your light and love too.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing that wonderful story about Transfiguration. Now we are going into the time of celebrations and concern, and there are a few things I need to highlight on the bulletin insert. I think it is our celebration that we fed about 30 people on dinner on us last Wednesday. And also, Ash Wednesday will be at 7 p.m., and that is when we will start our journey of Lent. And we will start it in the underground. So I would invite all of you to come to that. We come and celebrate the Ash Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pray for those who are not feeling well also. You have some names on the bulletin insert of those concerns, and some of them are not there on the list. So keep those people in prayer, and I want to give you a moment of silent prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to deepen our faith. We come to deepen our knowledge of your kingdom. We come to improve ourselves, to be better believers. We come to learn lessons and take those lessons into the world. Lord, we come to be with one another, to deepen our relationship, to strengthen our ties with one another in Christian love and care. Lord, we want to pray that we may sense your presence as we worship together and as we fellowship together today. Lord Jesus, we want to invite you to come into our midst and move in a mighty way. Heavenly Father, we want to bring to your presence those people we have in our minds and our hearts, those we cannot even mention their names. Lord, we commit them into your presence this morning, that you bring restoration to their health. Lord, we want to pray also that for the things coming ahead of us, we commit them into your hands. The meetings that we have and the ministry that we do in the community, we pray that it will reflect your glory. Lord Jesus, on this day of Transfiguration Sunday, we pray that you help us to be your light, to be your mouthpiece, to be your feet and hands in reaching into the community. Lord, we want to pray that you bless this service today, bless every part of it. And Lord, we pray that the glory will come to you and none of us. We want to pray that you begin with us now, for I pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Please join me in the community prayer. Almighty God, we come with open minds and hearts that we might better understand you, Lord. Speak to us that we may know your will as we go forth to let your light shine through us that others may know. The Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Scripture today comes from Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here for you, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The word of God given for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bill, for helping to lead the service today and reading the Word of God. Now, last Wednesday, Linda Stokes and I went to listen to the state of the city, which was being addressed by the mayor, my poem. And it was interesting for me, you know, for somebody who I didn't know the history of Lenexa, you know, to learn that since the mayor has been in the office for the last 18 years, he and his leadership team have been trying to make 2020 vision achievable. And so according to the address, apparently they have managed to move the city center of Lenexa from east to the west. And it is a good thing. It looks, you know, beautiful, you know what, you know, the city center out west. And I liked it. I'm not here campaigning for the mayor, but, you know, I'm just saying what I was listening to at the address and what I can see at the city center of Lenexa. However, I want to say that it might be a change some of you wanted, while some of you, it is something you never wanted. There are two things when change happens. It can be a positive thing, and also it can be a painful thing. It can bring a loss of something you have always valued, or it can bring something positive. Now, I suspect if I was to give each one of you some time to share some stories about not only the widow of change that has come to the city of Lenexa, but also change that has come to your life, I'm sure you could say a lot. You could talk about the stories of change that has come to your life, that has come to your family, maybe change that has come to your place of work, change that has come to your church, change that has come to your that has come to your school, or whatever you are involved in, or the changes that you hope for in the future, that you hope for in this year. So how do we live in the midst of change? How do you feel when it seems the world around us, as well as within us, is changing? How do you feel? I wonder if the disciples in the scripture might be asking the same questions, and if they too are feeling the wind of change blowing through their lives. Here is why I say that. Immediately before Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain, he tells them and the others that he must suffer, die, and be resurrected on the third day. He will tell them this again after they come down from the mountain. So the mountaintop experience is called transfiguration. And what is transfiguration? It is to glow. It is to shine. Yes, it is to be transformed. It is being changed into another form. It is like flashlight of God's glory, shining. So transfiguration of Jesus is it can be a difficult concept to understand. Yes, it can be a difficult concept to understand. You have to use different ways to explain. Mary was using the candle. I tried to put there the light. So I heard a Sunday school teacher, she was teaching the children about the transfiguration. So she read the story in the book of Matthew chapter 17. And as she was reading it, the little Dominic seems to look confused. And the teacher asked him, "So where was Jesus in this story?" And Dominic said, "Jesus was on top of the mountain." And the teacher went further and asked him, "What was he doing there?" And Dominic, still looking confused, he said, "I guess he was having arithmetic class." And the teacher asked him, "Can you explain that? What do you mean?" And Dominic said, "The story says, and he began to figure." And the teacher had to correct him. The teacher said, "The scripture said he went into the mountain, and there he began transfigured, not began to figure." So transfiguration can be a weird thing to be understand or to be understood. It was a weird for the three disciples. It can be weird for us too. Imagine walking around Jesus for 3 years. And all of a sudden, the veil of humanity drops away. And his glory is revealed. That can be weird, isn't it? Right in front of you, as Jesus stands right there, he starts glowing. Just like you see it as a movie, but it is a real thing. He's right here. How would you feel in the midst of change? So, what was the purpose of this? Why would Jesus took the three disciples to the mountain and he started glowing on them? The purpose of transfiguration was about preparing and helping the disciples live through the coming change. Transfiguration story has something to teach and show us about how to live in the midst of change. Change was coming. Jesus was going to die. And on the third day, he was going to be resurrected. So Jesus had to prepare them to understand his suffering and dying and resurrection, which was coming. Change. Whether on mountaintop of life or in the valley of the shadow of death, you know, it is something that can be weird. So in this story, what should we do in the midst of change? Let's talk about the real change that we can experience in the life. It could be suffering, it could be sickness, it could be any test in your life. What should we do in the midst of change? First, listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? There is something like that, right? This is a song that goes like that. What does verse 4 and 5 say in the scripture? It says, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from cloud said, This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. So, Peter is not getting it. Peter is speaking here like, you know, he's giving a selfish talk. He's thinking about himself and the comfort that he has at the top of the mountain. He was only thinking about his comfortable life. He forgot about the ministry that he has been called to do down the valley, at the top of the mountain. He was not listening to the voice of Jesus at that moment. The voice about the suffering, the impending death that was coming. And it would be followed by resurrection. So Peter is not paying attention to that. And that is why God is saying to him and to the rest, listen to him. One of the things I know in the midst of changes in life is, you know, different voices coming. Different voices speaking to me. Some are outside of me and some are from within me. Yet, there are different voices in the midst of change. Yes, there are voices of self-doubt. And somebody reminded me this morning that in those times of self-doubt, there could be, you know, the trust that we have in God, you know, can move the mountain. You know, our faith can move the mountain. And our doubts also can create mountains. So there are different voices, voices of self-criticism and all that. You know, I should have done this. I could have done this and that. I would have done this. So some voices tell us to run and hide. Stay in seclusion. Don't go to the public. And others tell us to fight and resist. Some voices ask questions. Yes, why? Why, Lord, why me? And some one explanation. Other voices deny what is happening right now. They deny the reality. And other voices, they may blame or declare it to be the end of the world. No hope. Some voices cry out for attention. But I have to remind you that not every voice, however, is helpful or worth listening to. Some voices may sound sweet, but they are not good for us. So the story of the Transfiguration says there is only one voice to listen to. The voice of God speak from the bright cloud overshadowing Peter, James, and John, saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." He's the only one to listen to. What does this mean when God said, "Listen to him"? He meant that whatever change comes upon us, it doesn't have the final word. Jesus is the only one who has the final word. Amen? In the midst of change, Jesus speaks to you. And he speaks to me a word of life, a word of hope, a word of mercy, a word of forgiveness, a word of generosity, a word of courage, a word of love, and a word of healing. The question is, are we listening to his voice? If only we could listen, we would see his glory. Yes, we will see his glory like, you know, Peter, James, and John. One of the mountain of experience is listening to Jesus during that moment of spending time with him. Could be in prayer or in meditation or in studying the word or even in music. That is the moment we can listen to him. What else should we do in the midst of change? Second, get up. We should get up. Let's read in verse 6 to 7. It says, "When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. 'Get up,' he said. 'Don't be afraid.'" So in verse 7, Jesus says, "Get up." I suspect we all face change that has caused us to stumble and fall paralyzed and fall down and get paralyzed or left us overwhelmed. We don't know what we can do. Again, this is not about whether the change is perceived as good or bad. It is about regaining our balance and getting our feet back under us. It is about stepping into a new life when we are not sure what that life looks like. Yes, faith can move mountains. So we can just listen to Jesus, trust in him, have faith that he will going to see you through. So get up. Don't stay paralyzed. Don't stay overwhelmed. Yes, there is hope in Jesus. Listen to him. So Jesus comes to us in whatever circumstance of change we find ourselves in. He touches us and says, "Get up. Be raised." So as I bring this to the closing this morning, I want to say that it is in the promise. It is in the promise that although life has changed, it is not the end of the world. Yes, listen to Jesus. He can shine his glory on you. He can shine his hope. He can shine faith in you. God uses the changing circumstances of our lives and world to bring us to new life. And I'm not suggesting that God directly causes change to come upon us. Yes, God does not allow bad things to happen to us, so to speak. I'm suggesting that God never waste a chance to throw forth a new life in us. God can use any circumstance that we are going through to give us a new life. Amen? Amen. So as we receive our tithes and offerings, I want to invite the ushers to come forward and the joy bells. Let's rise for doxology. Join me in the spirit of prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for bringing us up to this far. Thank you for the message you have given us. Lord, I want to lift up those who might have been paralyzed in one way or another with life changes. Lord, we pray that you have lifted our spirit. May your transfiguration be upon them to give them encouragement and energy to move on. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you also for what we were able to bring before you this morning. May you bless this gift and multiply it for the extension of your kingdom. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now receive the benediction. Go forth into the world. And may the Lord keep you, and may He make His face shine upon you and bless you and keep you. You may go in peace, and may the peace of Jesus Christ go with each one of you. Amen.